Welcome to the Take Six Podcast.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Take Six Podcast. Thank you very much for listening. This episode is all things Blue Jays. I'm your host, Hunter Surplus, and as always, I'm joined by the man, Mr. Callum Wise. Callum, how are you?
I mean, after last night, you know, could be better. Could be a lot better. But
yeah.
Feeling nice today. So let's put it out of our minds.
Yeah, it's you know, it's nice and sunny here in Toronto. We're recording this Thursday, May 16th, just after 12, and it's beautiful out. It took away all my sorrows from last night's pretty bad loss to the Bucks from the Raptors. From one sad topic to another, I guess, it will be my segue. The Toronto Blue Jays sits fourth in the AL East, right above the Baltimore Orioles, 9.5 games back from the Tampa Bay Rays. They have a record of 17-25, which is, you know, not fantastic. It's not fantastic. In the week since our last podcast, they've only won two games. They have only won two games, which is not a good sign for this team. They did have that really good run. We talked about it a little bit last week where they were looking really good and they had a very strong, sense of, you know, maybe this team is headed in the right direction. They're hitting really well. Their pitching's really good, but injuries and whatnot, I think, have really caught up to them and have led them to fall back into this cycle of losing. Callum, one very good thing happened this week. One thing that every single person that follows, you know, I'm not even going to say just the Blue Jays, that follows the MLB wanted to happen. Vladimir Guerrero Jr. hit his first home run and his second home run in the same game. How exciting were those two bombs? Like, he absolutely crushed them.
Oh, yeah. This guy, he finally showed his power to everyone in the league. Like, this guy, if he gets his bat on the ball, that ball is just gone. Like, that got out in a hurry, each one of them. I think the second one was, what, 451 feet? Something like that, something crazy.
Yeah, it was like, I think they said that the distance of, like, both home runs was over 1,000 feet. Obviously, it was inevitable that he was going to hit a home run. Like, pretty much every guy who plays in the MLB is going to hit a home run, especially when you have that much power. But it just, to start the career for Vlad, it's not like he was hitting really, really bad. Like, obviously, he didn't have the really good numbers or anything like that. But he was hitting the ball really hard. He was just hitting the ball at people. Like, his average exit velocity for this season in 62 plate appearances is 91 miles an hour. That's pretty much, like, it's not at the top quite yet with the Aaron Judges and Gary Sanchez and, you know, Christian Yeliches and all those guys. But for a guy who's 20 years old to have that exit velocity above the MLB average is unbelievable, right? Mm-hmm. And to be able to hone in and, you know, as he gets more comfortable over this season, I think it's going to do wonders for his hitting. And all he has to do is make that contact and the ball is going to end up going, like you said. Like, he just needs to get his bat on the ball properly. And I think this will do good for him in terms of his confidence and his approach at the plate, not really swinging and looking for that first home run or those first RBIs. Do you think that now that Vlad has hit his first and second home run, do you think that it's going to help attendance in the Rogers Center? Do you think fans are going to be more excited and more motivated to get out to games?
I mean, yes, but also, like, it's not going to go up exponentially. Like, even for his first game, it was barely, I don't even think it hit 30. I think it was at, like, what, 26,000 or something?
Yeah, something around that, yeah.
And And it was pretty amazing because it was like 10,000 people had actually bought tickets to that game. But then there was also 15,000 walk-ins, which has like never been done. But it was still only like 25,000 people at his first game. And then it just went down from there because he wasn't hitting. So I think now there will be at least probably around the same number of people will be there to see it, probably his next home stretch, just like see if he starts to get going. And if he does start to like hit a bunch of home runs, then I think attendance will start going up because the fans will have something to like, they'll know something will probably happen with him. And that's like the whole thing. Like you fans aren't going to go to, well, they do know something that the Jays are probably going to lose, but if they know that Vladdy might hit, like it has a huge percentage chance of like hitting a home run, then they might go to that game anyways, even though they're going to lose. Like, I think he will bring up attendance, but it won't. Like, the Jays are still going to suck. We're not going to be, like, going for a wild card. Like, we're not going to do that. It's just Vladdy is amazing to watch. So I think fans will go to a couple games, but not, like, raise attendance to such a high level.
Yeah, and to me, the weather is probably a pretty big factor too. Like once it gets a little warmer, people are more into going to Jays games in the summer rather than these 10 degree mm-hmm. outings when the dome's not open and all that kind of stuff. So I think probably the mix of Vlad starting to heat up and like the earth in Toronto starting to heat up at the same time is going to do good things for this. But like you said, it's not going to increase exponentially. Like, it's still fairly expensive to go to these Jays games. I don't know why, but like not many people are going to be willing to spend, you know, I mean, it's only really $30 for like a half decent ticket, $60 for a pretty good one, which isn't bad. But then
I think on a weekday, it's even like cheaper. You could probably get one for like $16 or something like that.
But then you gotta buy the $16 beer. Whether it's one or two, you gotta buy the $16 beer, the $30 hot dog and fries combo. Like you're spending more money on the food than you are on the damn ticket, right? So I don't know if people are gonna be like, all right, well yeah, I can watch Vlad crush this shit from home. Maybe it'll be cool, like, and maybe until he hits his first home run at home. And like, if he can really heat up, like he's been really good in this past week or so. He's gotten a few RBIs on the board. Especially he's been doing
that game where he hit his first one was a great plate.
It was fantastic.
Every single time he's at the plate.
Yeah, he's been on base. He's getting on base a lot more, which is exactly what you want to see. He's raised his average above 200, which is really nice to see, and it's very. It's a very impressive, well, I mean, it's not impressive, but it's like a pretty good stretch for this guy. Like the past few games, since that Minnesota series, he's hitting 292, right? That's almost 300. He's got five RBIs in seven games. He struck out four times, which isn't fantastic, but like he's getting there. Right. And so if he can keep this up and keep getting better and better and getting more comfortable at the plate and all that kind of stuff, I think it probably will help out it'll help out the attendance and the excitement, at least around this Jays team, because mm-hmm. people were starting to kind of not lose faith and lose hope in this guy, but they were starting to get
like lose interest. Yeah. I get what you're saying.
Yeah. Like they were
like,
he
for so long, he didn't hit one and they're just like, well, it's going to be even longer till he hits one. But now that he's hit one, people are going to be excited to like see his next one. So
exactly. Think, like he was hitting in the 100s for like five or six games, which is not always a good thing to see when he's your quote unquote franchise player. And people were just very anxious and they didn't have the patience for him. And now I think that'll come back and they'll be able to find his way. And not to mention, he's been playing very good defense. He's made three or four really, really, really nice plays. Obviously, there's errors that are being made there. But, you know, I know you and I both said that the big concern with Vlad was going to be his defense and that he wasn't going to be able to really hang in the MLB level. But he's shown really good things so far. obviously he still does have those few errors and a couple ugly plays, like, but it's not anything mental, right? It's not like he's making base running errors. Well, kind of, but he's not like, it's not like he's making any, you know, errors in terms of the mental side of baseball. It's all physical, and that's going to come. Everybody does it, right? Everybody kind of has those games where something, you know, the ball bounces the wrong way or whatever, but that's kind of what it has impressed me even more than, I mean, well, his hitting's been good as of late, but like his defense is what has stood out to me, because he did, you know, I didn't think he was going to be that good.
Yeah.
So another first this week, I think we're going to be talking a lot of firsts on this podcast today. Trent Thornton had his first win as a Toronto Blue Jay in the MLB. The 25-year-old had a very good start. He's had quite a few pretty good starts as of late. I mean, outside of that game against Minnesota last week where he gave up 5 runs in 2 innings on 7 hits, he's had some pretty decent success here, not giving up a whole lot of runs, but he hasn't translated those decent outings into wins, you know, whether it's a no decision or just a loss when those bad outings do happen. But finally, on Tuesday, that same game that Vlad hit his 2 home runs, Trent Thornton was able to get a win. He ended up getting 2 hits as well on in his at-bats, which was pretty exciting to see. Also, how important is it for Trent Thornton to be able to kind of get into his own and get into a zone where he's able to be that Jays, you know, 4th or 5th starter?
I mean, especially with all these injuries that are happening, I think him being consistent, other than that one game, is just, it helps out the team, like, in their mentality. Like, you have this guy who's, like, new to the league. He's pretty young and he's, like, doing really well. So, and like, obviously we have those starts where you're bringing out the bullpen immediately, like, which is our, like, that's bad that it's already happening in this season that our pitchers are already getting injured. But I think the fact that we have these new guys coming onto the team and doing well, it helps out the mentality, like you were talking about before, like, all, like, the mental side of baseball is huge. And the fact that you have this guy come in and do so well for someone you didn't really know is pretty good for the team. And I think, like, he's shown that he's going to stay as one of the 5 rotating starters for the remainder of the season.
Yeah, and that's kind of that's where they've had a few struggles here, obviously, with the injuries to Shoemaker and Baruchy not being able to really come back, and then kind of, and then Buckholz and Reed Foley not really coming into his own, and Buckholz struggling when he is pitching, and then Daniel Hudson not really being able to do anything all that great. And I mean, like you said, it's all mental, it's all important, and getting that first win out of the way is so big for so many guys, right? You see it, I say this all the time, but like, you see it in every sport, right? It's all, most sports are the same, but getting that first whatever it is so important. And it's kind of like the same thing with Vlad. Hopefully he'll get more comfortable out there after getting that first really good pitching game, right? He 5 2/3 innings pitch, 7 Ks, 2 earned runs. Obviously he struggled in that game in Minnesota, but it was a really good comeback kind of win and comeback performance for him, which to me shows not necessarily a confidence, but a maturity in terms of being able to put that last game behind him, even though he got absolutely racked for a bunch of runs. But being able to actually put it behind him and say, you know what, I can come out here and have a really good game and help my team win and all that kind of stuff. And being so young, he's 25, right? He's a couple years younger than Sanchez and Stroman, but he's closer to that age of, you know, this rebuild. And obviously I don't think he's ever going to become that ace. He's not going to be that. He's not going to be the number 2 or 3 guy ever really either. But if this team can maybe develop him into a really good, or at least a really usable 4th or 5th guy, I think he has all the tools to do it. His pitching looked really good. The movement on some of his pitches was really good. And it's not like the Giants are necessarily the best team in the league, but every team in baseball can hit on any given night, right? Any team in baseball when they're at it, can get going. And it starts off early in the game, and he had a really good first time through the order, and I think that was a big part into his good start. Another first, like I said, this is a podcast full of firsts. Another start was Edwin Jackson's first start as a Toronto Blue Jay, his 14th team in his long
MLB record.
MLB record. It is very impressive. I mean, it obviously you don't want to be a guy who moves around as much as some people do. It means you're probably not that cornerstone piece. You're not the best guy, but you know what? It takes a real good player to play 16 years in the majors. And like I said, another guy who can kind of be that fourth or fifth starter for this struggling Blue Jays team. And he really did pitch well for the Blue Jays on Wednesday. It ended up being a loss because they couldn't really get their offense going, and the relief pitchers kind of didn't do all that well. But the same question here, man, like, do you think Edwin Jackson is a viable option? And it's not like they have many, but do you think he's a viable option to help this team at least get through the struggles that they're going through until Barucki comes back, if ever? And like,
yeah,
and even if he's that sixth guy who only comes in and starts every now and then.
Oh, yeah, I think for sure. Like you said, it takes hell of a player to play 16 years in the league. And playing for 14 different teams is like, you got to have the toughest mental in the world, man. Like, that's crazy. Like, you're getting traded around, like, every year. It's like, but he's a Vince Carter of, in terms of, like, how many teams he's played for. And I think, like, he showed that he can pitch well in that first game, obviously. He's gonna need some help offensively, but he might not get that. But yeah, I think that he can definitely. He'll be in rotation until we get some of our pitchers back, and then if he pitches well until that time, maybe he'll find a spot as one of the starting pitchers. And I mean, we hope for that. We always hope that one of our new players does well. So I'm looking forward to seeing how he pitches.
And obviously, like, 16 years in the league is a long time. So he brings that veteran presence. He won a World Series. He's been an all-star. Obviously, this team is not going to win the World Series this year. They're not even going to really be close. I was looking, it's actually funny, I was looking on baseball references, like playoff prediction type stuff, and the Jays have a 0% chance. That's, I don't know, whatever algorithm they use, they have a 0% chance of making the playoffs or making the wild card, dude. Like, it's actually pretty funny. Baby. Like, not 0.1%, not zero. Yeah, not 1%, not 0.5%, not 0.01%, but literally 0% chance of
they
making
the wrong.
They're not wrong. But yeah, like, that veteran leadership, I think, is good, especially with young guys like Barucki eventually coming back, and Sanchez and Stroman, who aren't necessarily young, but who will need that extra help, and some of the young relievers there. Do you think that is an important aspect of this Edwin Jackson guy, even if he's not going to be that, you know, coveted fifth starter that we need?
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, that's why I like Granderson so much, man. Like, he was a great player. And he was just a really good vet to have on the team, because, like, you could see, like, he was friends with all the guys on the bench. And that just brings so much, especially your young guys who have this good vet to teach them, like, how to play the game properly, you know? Like, how to adapt to this major league baseball that is much more hard than any of the minor leagues. So I think that it's just always a help to have a veteran on the team, just to, even if they're, like, not going to be playing that much, like you said, like, it will help on the bench, give them some, like, tips and stuff like that. It's always good to have a nice vet on the team.
Agreed. And he said, like, all the right things in terms of, like, when he came in here, he's excited to play for the team. He's really happy. He's getting this opportunity. He loves the uniform, all that kind of stuff. So I like him so far. He's got a good personality. I think he's a good addition to this team. He seems like a good chemistry guy. Obviously, I don't think he's been here long enough to really determine that, but it seems like he's doing well and doing all the right things that are is needed out of a veteran guy and all the things that you need from one of these older pitchers. So not necessarily a first here, but Ken Giles got his 100th career save, which is a pretty big milestone for a lot of closers. And at only 28 years old, Giles has a lot of time left in his career, pretty much to ever really get there, right? And there's a coveted 300 save club, right? That has about 20 something guys in there, and it's in play if Giles obviously pitches for a really long time. But looking back, I know we kind of talked about it last year. Looking back, like on this, are you happy with how Ken Giles has turned out for this Blue Jays team? And do you see him as a part of this long-term kind of fit with the Jays?
Oh, yeah. I think we would be stupid to get any other closer because obviously what happened with Osuna sucked, but we did get pretty much our money's worth, man. Like it was like a couple weeks ago, he had the longest active save streak in the MLB. You just said it, like he hit his 100th career save. He pitches really well when he's like in those last inning for the last outs, man. Like he's just always on fire. Like you can pretty much guarantee he'll get a save for you guys if you get to that point, which isn't likely with this Blue Jays team. But when you get that, he'll probably clean it up for you, and that's always great. Like, and you can see him on the bench, man. Like he's like good friends with most of the players, man. Like he's up for every like hit. Like he's celebrating with all the boys. Like I really like how well he's fit in with this team, and I hope that he'll stay with this team. Cause like you said, he's not that old for a closer. He's 28 years old, like just coming into his prime, trying to go for that 300 mark, which is coveted, but like he looks like he could probably get there if he stays like this for the rest of his career.
And a lot of these guys, right, like when it comes to closers, they are able to kind of elongate their career because they really only do pitch those, generally speaking, they only pitch those three outs at the end of a game. Sometimes they stretch it to four, five, or six, depending on the situation. But they generally only pitch those three outs, the one inning to end off the game, and only ever when it's a, you know, 2-3-4 maybe at the max run lead that the team has. So it wouldn't surprise me if he's able to kind of still stay at maybe not this exact level and, you know, dip a little bit, but generally if you're a good closer, you're a good closer for ever, basically for your entirety of your career. And obviously that's not 100% the case, and sometimes people dip off, but you look at some of the best closers in the world, they're able to keep that height of excellence up. And it all depends on if he's able to sign with the Blue Jays again once his contract is done, but we'll see. I like him. I think he could be a good asset for this team. At least we know that we have one good relief pitcher in terms of having him, and a good closer is hard to come by, right? There's not a whole lot. There's basically Osuna, who we had, Giles, who we have, Chapman, and obviously there's more that are in that list, but I'm just trying to make the point that there's not a whole lot. You can't name every single one because they're not all out there. So Callum, like we always do every single week, my man, let's talk about player of the week. Who you got?
I mean, I'd be surprised if we didn't have the same guy, but obviously for me it's Vladdy, just because of that, the one game, man. Like he shows like that he's so comfortable at the plate during that game. Like he had four plate appearances, three hits, two of them were home runs and one walk. And those two home runs, he just destroyed, like not even moonshots. Like they were just bullets. Like they got out of the field so fast. And it was just great to see. Like obviously, hopefully it broke the ice for him in terms of his hitting. So it will just open the floodgates, you know, like he'll start smacking home runs every single game and it'll break the home run record in 1 year.
Yeah, I'll go with him as well. The home run, that was amazing.
How could you not?
Exactly. The home runs were fantastic. That excited not only us as fans, but anyone around the MLB and pretty much every single player on the Jays, striking fear into all of the pitchers in the AL East and pitchers everywhere, realistically, because everyone has to pitch against them eventually.
That was in the NL.
Yeah. But yeah, I'll go with him. He had really good at bats pretty much all week, and he was getting on base quite a bit. Like I said earlier, he's hitting like .292 in the past 7 games with five RBIs. So that's always a great thing to see. Callum, in this next week from here until we'll guess until next Thursday, just because it's a full 2 series there. So we've got 8 games on dock every single day. So obviously from tonight, which is Thursday, to next Thursday, Jesus. 8 games on the docket here. We've got Chicago White Sox from Thursday to Sunday, 4 games. And then we've got the Red Sox. We're going through the top drawer of our shelves this week, playing the White Sox and the Red Sox, sorting through all the clutter. I think you won last week, so now it's
we tied the month.
Okay, so starting off again, I guess we're halfway through the month right now, which is kind of dumb, but
4 weeks. Four weeks. We went 2-2.
Yeah, so 4 weeks from now we will do another see where we're at there. So the White Sox 4 games, the Red Sox 4 games. Callum, what do you see them winning here?
I picked first last week, so you can go ahead.
Oh, you dirty dog. You know what? I'm going to see them winning 3 games. They've got 2 afternoon games in Chicago. Those will be fun. And then they've got 2 afternoon games against Boston. A weird one on Thursday because they got to get out to San Diego on Friday. I think some of the pitching is going to get up there. I think Vlad is going to have a really good week again. He's going to help this offense get going, and they're going to win 3 out of 8. All right.
I'm going to say, like, I don't want to say 2 because, like, I don't want them to go 2-6 on the week. I'm going to say 4. 4 games.
4? All right.
4-4.
So I've got them going 3-5. You've got them going 4-4. If they go over 4, you win. If they go under 3, I win. Callum, good luck, my man. And as always, you guys can go to takesix.org, find all of our stuff there. Just posted some stuff about the Raptors. We're always buzzing on that. Find us anywhere you listen to your podcasts. Follow us on Twitter at @take_6. Callum, as always, my man, thank you for hopping on and chatting with me. I appreciate it all the time. Have a good one, everybody.